Tonight, I want to talk to you about dealing with mixture. I did a little teaching on it, but man, if your ears are on this tonight, you're going to be extraordinarily blessed. Tonight's subject is this. It's really this. No more mixture. You have to argue your case. All right? No more mixture. You have to argue your case. You have to argue your case. All right? And I'm going to jump around. I'm not going to go in the order here because we're going to go around just for a minute. Just for a minute. And we're going to go over here. No more mixture. You have a case to argue. All right. It says in Romans chapter 16, verse 19, for your obedience has come abroad unto all men. I am glad, therefore, on your behalf. But yet I would have you wise unto that which is good. And we've read this and we've gone over this. And simple concerning evil. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. So now, in reading that, the word simple means without mixture. Do you remember that?
Yes.
It means I'd have you wise unto that which is good and simple. I want you without mixture when it comes to evil. I want you to be completely without mixture when it comes to evil. And the God of peace will bruise Satan under your feet. And we learn that when we stay out of mixture is when God is going to make a move against the enemy. Now, when mixture tries to come in the beginning, and I will say this, when a mixture tries to set in, when he's bringing something to you, that is the time you have to rise up and say, Satan, the Lord, rebuke thee. Because what he wants to do is bring a mixture so it stops God from bringing destruction unto him. If he can successfully cause you to mix good with evil in your walk, what he's going to do, and Rhema, while you're under Rhema, that's the only time you're going to stop that. Without being under Rhema, you will not stop the mixture. You can resist, and we're going to talk about that. You can resist and try to the best you can, but he's going to break you down after a while. But under Rhema, he can't break you. Amen?
Yeah.
All right, so now it says here, I'm going to skip around, so these notes are not in order. You're not going to get these here. It says over here in James 4 and 7, and this is what you have to do when he brings it. When he's trying to bring mixture, he's trying to cause you, he's bringing temptation your way. He's trying to cause you to walk in some type of temptation. He's trying to break you down is what he's really wanting to do. If he's successful in breaking you down, if there's some type of success, then you're going to find yourself in a real bad situation. That's why it says in James 4 and 7, it says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Submit yourselves. I look at this here, and you know what I see. Submit yourselves to what?
Rhema.
Thank you, guys. Amen. Submit yourselves, therefore, to Rhema. Resist, then resist the devil, and he will flee from you. But first you have to submit unto the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was?
Was God.
So it's okay to say, I submit to the Word of God.
That's it.
When I begin to submit to Rhema, then I bring resistance. And this is where I believe Christians get it wrong. We get it wrong real bad. Because what we do is we resist. And what we're doing is, in our resisting, it's kind of like we curl up in a ball, hoping that we can weather the storm. Hey, somebody say amen if you know what I'm talking about.
Amen.
And we resist, like, I'm not going to do that. I will not do that. I know that's not going to happen. I'm not. And you're putting everything on you. But the word resist means to stand against or to oppose. Now watch this. This is what we're going to break down. This message is going to go to a real high height, so you got to stay with me. To stand against or to oppose, to withstand. Here we go. The title of the message is No More Mixture, You Have to Argue Your Case. Somebody say, you have to argue your case.
You have to argue your case.
You've got to be in position to argue your case. All right? So now, it means to resist means to oppose him. And the word oppose means to attempt to prevent, especially by argument. Hallelujah. Woo! So now, in resisting, it's not just trying to weather a storm. It's not just trying to hope that you can just get past your temptation. That's not true resisting. True resisting is becoming an opposition to what he's trying to make you do. You become an opposition to fear. You become an opposition to lust. You become an opposition to doubt. You don't just try to curl up and try to weather it. You oppose it. And opposition, true opposition is this. You bring an argument to the table. The word rhema. Rhema means dispute or argument. Help me, God. The word rhema means dispute or argument. That's the actual definition of rhema. It's not just the breath, but it's the breath that argues. It's the breath that disputes. So when I'm under the rhema word, I now stand up and I argue my case against the devil. I now stand up because I'm under the word of God, which is the breath of God, which gives me God's argument. I have the truth.
Yes.
The one that has the truth wins the argument.
Yes.
Help me, Jesus.
Yes, absolutely.
Rhema, the rhema word of God, is the truth. And anyone telling the truth wins the argument. All right. Here we go. That's just the beginning. So I oppose him. I'm called to oppose Satan. I'm called to argue with him. And I don't argue back and forth about what God says. No, no. My argument is simply, Satan, the Lord, rebuke me. I know the truth. I don't have to tell him the truth. I know the truth. He knows the truth. And when he hears it, he has to flee. Now, resist the devil and he shall flee. Watch what happens when he flees. I'm going to show you this. I shouldn't show you this because it's really a little early in the message. The word flee means to vanish. So when I rebuke Satan under rhema, he vanishes from off the scene. Vanishing means to disappear completely. When I argue under the power of rhema, and as he's trying to convince me of something else, like this morning, I woke up and he tried to hit me with fear again for some strange reason. Tried to hit me with fear. And I opposed him, and he truly left me. I told them before you guys got in, I was at the gas station. Somebody pulled up with this black little sheer thing on. The only thing I saw was his eyes. He rolled down his window and did like that to me in Providence. It's like emotion, I'm going to kill you. Don't know who he was. This happened yesterday. Didn't know who he was. But fear tried to get in the truck, but it didn't come in. I dapped her up. I said, we're heading in the right direction, baby. That's what the devil wants right there. He wants us to fear. But we did not, and we will not. When you're under the word, you can't. The righteous are as bold as a
lion.
But he did that for no reason and pulled off. When you resist him by rhema, he flees. He disappears completely. Okay, now here we go. Here we go. Here we go. All right. This whole thing that you're under, this whole thing, every segment or every area of life that is not functioning the way that you want it to function or that we want it to function, every area, every problem carries a different court case. Every problem carries a different case. You could be in court 3 and 4 times a day against the devil. I'm going to show you something. This is really powerful. This is so cool. If you come out of rhema, you can't argue. If you have mixture, you can't argue. He said, we just read it before you got here. In Romans, he said that I'd rather you be wise unto that which is good and simple to that which is evil. The word simple means without mixture. When it comes to evil, and it's not just evil in terms of sin, thoughts. I'd rather you simple concerning evil or taking a position where you agree with the doubt. You agree with the fear. When you start to take the position with that, he's coming to tell you you should be afraid, Mom. He's trying to let you know you need to fear because you're going to fail. And if you start to agree with that position, he takes you to court. Watch this now. In Isaiah 14 and 13. Watch this now. Let's go up. I'm going to skip down here. Let's go. Revelations chapter 12 and 10. All right? And I heard a voice. Okay, you guys ready? Look to your neighbors and get ready.
Get ready.
About to go for a ride now. Get ready.
Oh, God. Here we go.
In Revelations 12 and 10, I'll organize the notes before I send them out. I was so on fire, I didn't even have time to organize the notes.
Be like that.
I was just on fire. I just couldn't. I felt like you, EB. I couldn't take it. I had so much I couldn't take. I couldn't sit still. I couldn't take it. It was too much. It was like, oh my. Lord. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation. Now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of the brethren is cast down, all right, which accused them before our God day and night. All right? In the verse that precedes this, verse 9, it talks about there was a war in heaven between Michael and Satan. The angels of Satan and Michael's army. Both of them went head to head. Michael threw him out. Satan is no longer a force to be reckoned with in the heavens. Somebody say in the heavens.
In the heavens.
When I'm on the right, where are you at?
In heaven.
In heaven.
Jesus Christ.
In the heavens.
In the heavens.
Watch this now, guys. It's going to get real simple. In the heavens, if you're seated in your spot, if you're in your place, the accuser is cast down. If you're of an earthly mindset, you're not even going to court, and he's there telling on you. And you didn't even show up for court. You got a bench warrant out for your arrest. Watch me now. Because in the heavens, he's been cast down. I'm going to try to teach this, but you got to stay with me. In the heavens, he's completely cast down. And it says, he accused. The accuser of the brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Let me just scroll down to here and show you that it's not just the fact that you must be in the rhema. Listen, this message is so dynamic, it puts you in position to always where he cannot accuse you. If you stay in rhema, you stay out of the mixture of what the devil is trying to convince you of. You stay out of the places of fear. He wants you to fear because he's going to take the fact that you fear and go back to God and argue that he deserves to do more to you because you're not in position.
Yes.
In verse number 12 of the same chapter, let me show you. It says, therefore, rejoice ye heavens. Watch now. And ye that dwell in them.
In them.
Ye that dwell. That's us when we're under rhema. Watch this. Woe. Watch this. Watch the warning. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you.
Self-explanatory.
Woo! Yes. Jesus. Yes. Did anybody catch that?
Yes.
Woe be unto the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down unto you, and he has great wrath, understanding that he has but a short time. So now, if you're not in your rhema place, woe be unto you, because you're not in the... See, it says, rejoice, O ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Help me, God.
Hey, Jesus.
Woo! When I'm in the Word of God, I'm not here. I'm here, but I'm not here. My mind determines where I'm at. If I'm full of faith, then I'm in my heavenly place, my God. If my mind is propitiated, then you know I'm in my heavenly place. But man, if I'm not, if I'm rolling along with his mixture, woe be unto you that are inhabitants of the earth. All right. Let me show you why woe. Here we go. Back up to verse number 10. So he got kicked out of heaven. He's noted here as the accuser of the brethren. He was cast down when Michael took care of business, not when Jesus died on the cross. He was cast down when Michael threw him out. From that time. So now, there's nothing there for him. So now, if you're seated in your right place, your arm. Which accused them. Now, this is what's going on here. The accused. This is what it means. The word accused means against one in the assembly. A complainant at law, especially Satan. Watch this. Back over to Isaiah. This is how he's stealing due season. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. This is what Satan said. And we learn that the word congregation means due season. But also the other definition for congregation means what?
Assembly.
Assembly. Oh, God help me. The accuser in Revelations 12 and 10 is noted as this, the word accused against one in the assembly. Help me, Jesus. Oh, this is how he's stealing my due season. I see. He's stealing my due season. When I walk with a mixture, he's taking what I'm doing back to God. He's against one. That one is all of us. Oh, God help me. He's against one in the assembly. He's a complainant at law. When you walk in mixture, he takes his complaint to God. He brings his complaint to God. He's against one in the assembly, the accused. He accused them before our God. Look at this. Day and night. Watch this. He keeps the same hours we're supposed to keep in rainbow. Come on, no. Because the moment you come out of it, my God, he's now bringing accusation against you. He's doing it day and night. He's like, okay, if the Ramahites are going to keep day and night hours, I'm going to keep day and night hours. When they fall asleep and I get in and bring mixture, I will bring accusation to God. And what will happen is now I have rights to take their case to God. And I have rights to have, because this is my domain. I can do what I want to them in the earth realm. I can stop their due season. I can stop their healing. I can stop their deliverance. I can judge this thing. I may not be able to kill them, but I can hinder them from being blessed. You guys with me?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
He's a complainant at law, especially Satan. So now I understand. Okay, wait. I go back up and I understand this thing on mixture again. Yeah, yeah. He wants me to be simple. He wants me to fall in to a mixture place, which means simple concerning evil means to have mixture. Meaning I got some of God and some of him. When I fall into that place, that's when he's bringing the complaint, right? Because now I've compromised. I'm not in agreement with God. My mind is not in a heavenly place. Now he brings complaint, okay? And the reason why he's bringing complaint, Nikki, is because if he can get a complaint in on you, God will not destroy him for you.
Oh, God.
That's why we stay in bondage. Watch this now. If I stay out of mixture, the God of peace will bruise Satan under my feet shortly.
Mm-hmm. Hallelujah.
Oh, my God. It's quick.
Now, the word shortly, this is how fast it moves. And he knows this. A brief space of time, quickly or quickness. When you resist to the point where there is no mixture, his destruction comes extraordinarily fast. That's why he presses so hard, because he knows that he has, according to Revelations, but a short time. Jesus. Yeah. No. Now I'm going to show you. Each problem in your life, each problem carries a different case. I'm going to show you something. Watch this, Henry. When Satan comes in and tries to press you, let's say, Henry, and this is just for saying, I'm just using an example. Let's say you have an issue with pride, and I'm not prophesying to you, trust me, I'll tell you straight up if I thought you did, all right? Let's say you have an issue with pride, and your pride, and he comes to pull on the string of pride in you, but you're in your rhema word, where Nikki tells you, Henry, I need you to go to the grocery store and pick up these things and get this because I'm going to cook this tonight and I need you to do that. And you already had plans, so your pride says, I can't do that. I got to do this. But your plans really didn't matter. They were irrelevant. You just want to go to see a movie or something. So now your pride tries to step in. But now you feel the pull on the string of pride. And before you answer Nikki, you rebuke Satan. And you peacefully go to the store. You don't understand what you just did. You just brought destruction to him. When he can't pull on the string no more, he was just destroyed.
Come on now.
It may not happen at that moment, but then it rises again. You do it again. That first time, he's limping now. He's hurt. He's hurt. He's almost out of the game. He tries a second time, and you do it again. Done. He knows that. Henry, now y'all have to understand something. When you bruise him under, and God bruises him under your feet, the word bruised means to destroy completely. No, see, I'm going to show you something. You don't know how fast you could have been delivered until you really stood up under the rhema word and said, Satan, the Lord, rebuke thee. You don't know how fast that anointing would have destroyed the yoke. After all these years of failure, you have no idea that it could have took two times and only two times where you resisted the devil, where the Bible says, and he shall flee, which means to vanish completely, which word completely means it never happened. All of his power against you is now erased in that area because you withstood him. When you don't allow mixture to come in, God says, I will bruise Satan under your feet. That means I will completely crush him. In that area, it won't be a problem anymore. You didn't realize how fast you could have got out of that. You had no idea. But because you did what all Christians do, you curled up in a ball and you tried to resist not him, you tried to resist yourself from going into the way he wanted you to. So you won that bout, but then 5 minutes later, he came back and you failed. Or 2 days later, only because you didn't resist under the anointing. When you're under rhema, you have to argue your case. When I'm in rhema, and he tries me in rhema, and I put my argument, I say, Satan, the Lord, rebuke thee, or I say, Satan, get thee behind me. What does the word behind mean?
To the back.
To the back of time or place. When you say, get behind me, he goes into a realm of non-existent. That situation that he used to have over you, see, Joshua, is now non-existent. Oh, no. See, y'all agree. Anybody been battling the devil? All right, let me ask you a question. If you've been battling from rhema, tell me how strong you feel right now. It's like I'm saying goodbye to some old habits. And I know I'm saying goodbye forever. They're done. All right, here we go. So when you resist to the point where there's no more mixture, his destruction comes extraordinarily fast. That's why he presses so hard to, because he knows he has but a short time. In James 1 and 2, watch this. It says this, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Now, I always thought that this was a crown signifying that I have or I'll wear when I get to heaven. That's not what this means. The word crown means a mark of royal, or in general, it means I was exalted in rank. Jesus, I came up, baby. When I endure and don't allow the mixture to come in, I come up in rank. I come up in rank under the anointing. I come up in rank. I go from glory to glory. I come into another dimension of power. Why? Because that's one less thing he can grab off of me. But it says, blessed is the man that endureth. Look up in north, Joshua. Endureth temptation. I come up in rank. And watch this. Watch what this life means. Life here does mean Zoe. But it means I come up in rank, so I step into the absolute fullness of life. I step into life real and genuine, a life active and vigorous, devoted to God, blessed in the portion even in this world.
stay under, to remain, to undergo, to bear trials, or have fortitude, or persevere, abide, or endure, or take patiently, suffer, tarry behind.
Okay, stop right there. Let's go back to your first word, remain. Remain, one of your first two words there. Second word, the first word was remain.
Second
is remain. Let's look at remain. To remain, blesses the man that remains, not in temptation, remains in rain. Not remains in temptation, doesn't get moved from rhema. No mixture. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown or the mark of royal, that are in general exalted in rank. A mark of royal, I don't think you guys understand what that means. King Henry could go anywhere in the world. Prince Henry. From over in England. Anywhere in the world. The princes of England can go anywhere. And because of their royal mark, they have a line of credit in any place, at any time. Just their name. It yields everything. They don't have to have a dime in their pocket. Their kingdom backs them. When you have a royal mark on you, the same thing happens. When you get the mark of royal, because you've endured temptation, everywhere you go will have to favor you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Bless the Lord. Hallelujah.
Everywhere you go will have to favor you. Everywhere you go, it will have to favor you. Favor you have absolute fullness of life. The crown of life, the mark of absolute fullness of life. That's healing, deliverance, that's prosperity, that's perfect peace, perfect health, perfect joy. You will be favored with absolute fullness of life. When you have stood him face to face and you withstand him in every area, one at a time if need be, or you can have three different days, you can have three different places of deliverance. I want to tell you and submit to you, and this is no lie, When you withstand Satan under Rhema, everything he tried to do to you, every time you lost for 10 years in this one area, and it may take one time of withstanding him, and you are set free and delivered for good. The anointing destroys the yoke.
Amen. Amen.
Jesus and Paul both bear this mark here. All right, I'm going to go a little bit down here. They both bear the mark. I'm not going to go there yet. I'm going to wrap up in just a minute. All right. Look at Revelations. Let's go here to 12 and 11. Now, you're in court now. You're in court. He's trying to get you there. But it's amazing when you're in Rhema. You don't have to say anything. God acquits you quickly. Oh, no, I'm going to show you right here. This whole Revelation chapter 12, verse 9, 10, 11, 12, and maybe you can go down to 13, is all dealing about a court case. All right, in verse number 10, we see where he becomes the complainant. Right? Mm-hmm. And he's trying to sit on due season, trying to steal your harvest, trying to steal your blessing. Mm-hmm. Right? If he gets accusation, he sits on due season. That's what we learned in verse 10. Now we go to verse 11, and we see how to beat the complainant that's coming and trying to take us into court. In verse number 2, and they all have the verbiage of going to court. In this chapter here, it says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Unto the death. Unto, that's baptizo. And they loved not their life unto the death. Not to death, but unto the death. And they overcame their complaint by the blood, by being propitiated. And by the word, you have no idea, the word of their testimony. The word testimony, there's a very powerful word. I'll show you in a second, but the word overcame means this. When one is arraigned, this is the Greek definition. When one is arraigned or goes to law to win the case, maintains one's cause. He never veers. He gets arraigned. Do you know what it means to be arraigned? Tell me what it means to be arraigned. Free. It's a law term for being free. You went to court, but you overcame him. Because while he was trying to bring accusation, only thing God saw was the blood, propitiation. You got arraigned to win the case. You maintained your cause. You never veered. Wait a minute.
Okay.
What did you say now? You stayed in the rhema. And because you stayed in the rhema, you were arraigned. Now, it says you overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. Watch this here. You already got it, Andrzej. Now, you overcome him. You beat him in court by the blood, propitiation. But then, this is crazy, because the testimony is this. I try to tell you, you got to speak. The word testimony means the office committed to the prophets of testifying concerning future events. You have to be, it also means one testifies testimony before a judge. So when we're there, Satan the Lord rebuked me. God sees that and says, go on now. Get out of my courtroom. He said it under the blood. He said it, or she said it, by being propitiated. When God sees you rebuke the devil while being propitiated, by being at peace in your mind and not being under his spell of fear or doubt or lust or whatever else, but you're solid and you say sick, he says, case closed. You can't have this. You can't take that from her. You can't take this from her. Case closed. Because what he's doing is he thinks he has you. So what he wants to try to do is finish it. He's trying to finish it. He sees areas of trouble that you're going through or areas where God hasn't moved, and he tries to capitalize on that. He tries to let me make them afraid because God hasn't brought them out. Let me get fear in them, and I can finish the job. But when you don't get mixture in, and you say, Satan, the Lord rebuke us, case closed, and then you get the mark of royal. And then God comes in and redeems the day. You guys got it?
Yes, sir.
He's going to try to bring you to court. He's going to try to drag you in there. Do not move. I taught this message a while ago, but not like this. Not like this. Whew, God. All right. So you overcome by the blood and by the word, by the testimony, by your prophecy. And your prophecy against Satan is not trying to remind Satan of what God's word says. Your prophecy against him is to simply say, Satan, the Lord rebuke thee, or Satan, get behind me. You stay in a place where you can prophesy, speak that word, and trust me, it has power. All right. Here we go. I'm just going to show you this here. And I'm finished. Jesus and Paul had this mark, had the mark of royal. When you start bearing the mark of royal, they don't even try to take you to court no more. Yep. In Acts 19:15, the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know and Paul I know, who are you? To know is to what, Joshua?
See.
They saw the mark. They saw the mark of royal on Paul and Jesus. They saw the mark. They knew not to play with them. They knew not to even try. They understood that it would be for naught. I promise you, the church is called to this dimension. In John 14 and 30, in the AMPC, the Amplified, the classic Amplified version, Jesus said, there's nothing in me that belongs to you. He's talking to the devil, or talking about the devil. He said, there's nothing in me that belongs to him. He has no power over me. In other words, there was nothing ever planted in me from the beginning. I was not born in sin, and I wasn't shaken in any. So he knew that the mark was on him. Satan will only challenge people that he has something already planted in. He will challenge us Christians because it was planted. It's our job, and I need you to understand this, it's our job that we stand face to face with him to uproot what was planted by resisting. Right. When you resist the sin that dwelleth, oh God, I want to teach this thing. When you resist the sin that's in you, when you resist the sin that's in you, it loses its power over you. That's the crushing under your feet.
That's right.
But you have to have the time where you finally resist the sin that's still in you. Paul said it like this. He said, it's no longer I that do it, but it's the sin that dwelleth in me. He said, who will deliver me from this bond of death? Who will? He said, I thank God he will through Jesus Christ, through Rhema. My deliverance will come when I stand in the Rhema word of God. And I stand there, and then sin is pulled on. All of a sudden, I don't fall for it. I resist it, and it loses its power. Every time, you might have four areas of your life. Do it four times, and you will stand in a place of absolute perfection. Remember the name of the series that we're under, and don't forget it. The name of the series is Total Destruction Through R3. I had no idea it was going to go this far. To see how we can totally get Satan destroyed. Because, yes, Jesus destroyed him. Mm-hmm. He absolutely did. But it's our job to come up to that realm.
Yes. That's right. Yes.
Amen.
You got to make it there. You got to go. 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 You can't have any more mixture. Because when you have mixture, you're going to lose the argument. That's all I'm trying to tell you. You get it mixed up, you're going to lose the argument. Endure the temptation that's in front of you and go ahead and rebuke the devil. And you will win every time. Every time. Every time. The name of this series, of this teaching we are under, is Total Destruction by Our Friend. Everybody, I believe, has a place of temptation that we don't even fight it. I believe that with all my heart. There's a place that we all have temptation that when it comes, we just follow it around like a lamb to a slaughter. We get up and we walk in it. We walk in it, and it's become a part of how we live. But now God is calling you to wake up by Rhema and no longer yield yourself to it, but by the Rhema, word of God. Rebuke the devil when he brings it to you.
And a mixture only making you come in delayed.
That's right.
It's like being a boxing match and the bell done rung. You're still in your corner standing up.
You're still in your corner.
And then you think about what you should do, really consider it, and then you try to get in there. Chances are you're going to get knocked out.
Because
the other opponent is so ready for you, you haven't even left the chair yet.
You haven't even left the chair.
That's what the mixture does.
It does. Yes. It causes you not to understand how to fight.
That's right.
But I'm going to tell you, if you did get mixture, I'm going to tell you how to get back in the fight real quick. Let me tell you how. Get your behind in the Rhema word until you get good and saturated where the thing that you did is no longer condemning you, no longer convincing you that it has power over you, and you get your mind propitiated. And once you're good and propitiated, the Bible says that when your obedience has been fulfilled, you take revenge on all disobedience. Once your mind is good and propitiated and at ease, even if it's not coming at you, turn yourself to it and rebuke it. Rebuke Satan from that point.
That's right.
You'll stagger him and he won't even know what hit him.
Like before we got to this point, he'll try to give you another language for it. Oh, that's me. I got to stop doing that. I just got to stop being there. I got to keep myself a picture. No. That's not the answer right now. It's to receive that mixture that he has there and immediately say, Satan, the Lord rebuke you. See it for what it's worth every time it comes. It's going to keep coming now.
It is.
He's going to let you know that the mixture is still there. But when you see it right away, nothing else should be said but Satan, the Lord rebuke you.
That's it. I'm trying to tell you now. And let me tell you, the difference between this message and the message that would go out to the way the church has taught in the past is the posture that you have, the position in Rhema. We've learned about rebuking the devil since we were kids.
Yes.
But for some reason, he laughs at us. He's like, Paul, I know Jesus, I know who
you are. That's right.
You know you're going to do this tonight. Sing the Lord's rebuke then. Sing the Lord's rebuke then. And then you tell him, you quote the scripture, resist the devil, he shall flee. That ain't resisting the devil because you said it. Resist the devil, he shall flee. And you try, no, you get up and oppose him under the power of the word of God.
That word, that's right, that ring.
Sing the Lord's rebuke. Okay, God ain't playing today.
That word that I'm standing in right now. That word that I'm representing right now. That word that I'm saturated in right now. That word that I'm trusting in right now. That word that I'm believing right now. Yeah. Say it unto the Lord rebuke.
Shake the Lord rebuke. That's where you come from.
That's where you come from.
That's where that power comes from.
Hey, thank you, Jesus.
It comes right from there, and man, it annihilates him so fast, it's not even funny.
That's right.
I'm going to say this. I've been seeing a tremendous change. I've been in a battle with the enemy in the area of finance for a minute, and I've seen such a tremendous change, and I testified of it during our Bible Money Talk. I am starting to see thousands of dollars come in supernaturally because I have been really fighting the enemy who has been trying to fight against me. He's been trying to fight my worship. He's been trying to fight so many areas, and I have come against him with everything I've got, and now there's a shift in my favor because I've resisted him. And I can honestly say, burden removed, yoke destroyed.
Amen. Jesus.
That's what I've overcome that area. I've overcome some other areas as well that I'm extraordinarily blessed by, that God has moved. Things that I've struggled with, Nikki, for years have been destroyed already. They have been, just a struggle within my own being. Paul said it, man. Paul was like, yo, God, I sought you three times over the one situation. Three times Satan came and he's buffeted me. And I sought you three times over it. And God tried to tell Paul, he tried to give him a hint. He said, my grace, Paul, is sufficient for you. Now, if you understand what grace is, that my grace is sufficient. He's letting him know, Paul, you're trying to go up against this thing. You're bothered by the fact that he's doing the word thorn in the flesh means bodily annoyance. Mm-hmm. Paul had some type of bodily annoyance. I don't believe it was a physical. I'm going to tell you what I truly believe it was. I believe Paul's problem is a lustful issue that he had. And it was a bodily annoyance. And it wasn't a physical annoyance because if you keep reading over there, it was dealing with something that it was the messenger of Satan. There was something that he kept whispering in his ear and enticing Paul with. So it was a messenger of Satan. So that word messenger means demonic pastor. So he was getting something that was pulling on a string in him. It was a bodily or physical annoyance to him. And so when Jesus said, Paul, hey, chill out. My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. In other words, you've got mixture there. But I see you recognizing it, but you're trying to push it out.
That's right.
My grace will. And if you understand grace, grace is this. You probably think, okay, you just ran it crazy. That's what grace is, the word that you didn't deserve. It's the word of God. You're saved. I'll show you. I'll back, do a little backtrack. You're saved by faith through grace, right?
That's right.
You're saved by faith through grace. Oh, wait a minute. You're saved by faith through grace. You're saved by grace through faith. Yeah, either way. It says it both ways. You're saved by grace through faith. So watch this. Faith is the word. Faith, the word faith means understanding. The grace that came is you understood Jesus without even trying. You got the word of Jesus. So grace is the word that you did not earn or deserve, unmerited. So Jesus told Paul, he said, my word is sufficient.
That's right, that's it.
Ooh, God.
Hallelujah.
You go ahead.
Thank you, Jesus.
You stay weak. Don't worry. I sought you three times how to get rid of this devil.
That's it.
My word is
sufficient. That's right.
Come on,
now. Woo! God, hallelujah.
Trustworthy tools, like I said. Hear, speak, see, speak. You got
this. This was just so funny.
It's good.
The other day, today's the 28th, so it was 15 days, or more than 15 days ago, I heard the number 5. Well, I thought it meant something totally different. I thought I was going to have my rent paid by the everything paid by the 5th, and that's what I was thinking. Well, it's been on my mind for a while because I wanted to know what it meant.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe it was this morning, I said, wait a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Grace. Grace. I said, that's what you were telling me. Because I knew it was from him.
Oh,
I knew it was from him. There was no doubt in my mind that it was from him. And when I began to think about it, I said, wow, Lord. All I heard was five. He didn't say anything else. All I heard was five. Immediately, my mind took me, okay, by the fifth, everything going to be set. When it came and went and still going, I was like, but this morning,
it came
to me. I said, okay, five is grace.
It's grace.
You're just letting me know your grace is with me.
Well, let me tell you something.
It was so awesome.
That is way beyond.
It was so awesome.
I don't even think. That's what's at.
Just so awesome.
That's where it's at. And see, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world's and they that dwell therein. When he says, I got you, and I've got favor, you don't know how far he can let things go.
That's right.
He will stretch it. And there's a scripture that says, this tells you that if they don't have, why would you ever take their bed? Why would you ever take their bed from them if they don't have? You're a retired woman.
That's right, Apostle.
Trying to make ends meet.
Yes.
You're not in a situation where that applies to you. You've worked your years. Now you're working again, but you've worked your years. So that doesn't apply. So there is a scripture that definitely does describe it, but there's a scripture. When the word says one thing, and the world is pressing in another thing, 7-year release about debt. I was running it all down. Mm-hmm. 7-year release about debt. They've crushed that. That's no longer in effect.
Sure is.
They sell your debt after 7 years to somebody else, and they're keeping you in bondage.
Yeah.
When God sees these things and you stand under rhema, his word is activated.
Yes, it is.
And it becomes law. Debt begins to cancel. They say 7 years and we're going to sell it. God said 7 years, it's going to disappear. Just like I said. Because you're in the right position.
Amen.
In Kairos. You're in set time in due season. You see, and so when you hear words like that, take total comfort. You know what it was? That's your desire, is to get out of the debt that you're in. And so that's where you made it go. So God stretched away past that time to say, I wasn't talking about that. My grace, my word is sufficient. Argue your case. Take a minute. You're under the rhema word of God. You're under the rhema word of God. Listen, I'm going to tell you this. All blame, God said, is shifting to Satan.
Shifting right on.
He's tired of men blaming themselves for bad things. He said, I want the originator to take the full blame. Don't get me started now. Please don't make it happen. He said to Eve, he said to Satan, I'm going to put enmity between her seed and you. He said it back then in Genesis, all blame is coming on you. Her seed is going to have, they're going to have hatred toward you. And guess who her seed is? It's not just, it's talking about all of us. It's not just talking about Jesus.
Us too.
We are of that seed. He said, listen, I'm going to put enmity between her seed and you. I'm not blaming her anymore. I killed the badgers and covered her. Her sins are done. Then I sent my son, and the curse of it was broken. God is not blaming you for these mistakes, and we've got to get an understanding of that. He said in Isaiah 54, I will never be angry with you again. He said, I will never rebuke you again. I will never, he said, read Isaiah 54 for yourself. He said, I will never come at you sideways. I'll never come at you. I'm never going to put blame on you. When my son takes all of it, it's completely gone.
Hallelujah.
All of the blame, all of the, someone said it on Tuesday, all of the wrath was poured out on Jesus.
Hallelujah.
He said, I'm not mad at you.
Hey, Jesus.
For the mistakes, I want you to stand up and talk to the originator. I want you to stand up and talk to Satan about it. I want you, out of your mouth have I called for deliverance. Out of the mouth of babe and sucklings have I ordained strength, so that I might steal the enemy and the avenger. Out of your mouths I want to take revenge on what he's done. You are arrows in my hands. Now stand up and fight your case for a minute. Stand up and fight your case. Stand up and fight your case. Stand up and fight your case. Not from a place of fear, not from a place of anxiety, not from a place of doubt, not from a place of need. Fight your case from a place of the rhema word of God, understanding your position. Satan, the Lord does rebuke you, and we're going to keep on rebuking you. In the name of Jesus, every area that you have twisted, I'm watching God, my God, my God. Get your hands off of the things that belong to the people of God. The Lord rebukes you.
God has a sign for me.
The Lord rebukes you, Satan.
Things concerning me in the realm of work. Get thee behind me.
You have no accusation against us. And the Lord rebukes you, Satan. We're arguing our own case. We understand by being under propitiation. You don't have an accusation against us. And the Lord rebukes you. Get your hands off the ground.
Because I can see you. I see you.
You will not steal due season. That's right. In the name of Jesus.
See you.
The Lord rebuke you.
The realm of word has validated you with all authority and power.
Jesus.
Yes, God. Yes.
The Lord rebukes you. Jesus.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
Jesus. You are seated in a heavenly place. If you're seated in that heavenly place, and I'm finished, if you're seated in that heavenly place, there is no accusation he can bring against you. Only if you're in the earth realm, in your mindset, can he bring any accusation against you and cause delay in your life. It's the only way. It's the only way. It's the only way. But I'm telling you, everybody in the room right now is seated in the heavenly place. There will be no delay. Only delay that there will be is God holding back your enemies. And God holding back your creditors. Only delay, because hey, when favor's in motion, it's better than the money.
Yes, it is. Yes.
My God, it's better than the money.
Yes, it is.
Because by the time you end up going to pay something, you're getting paid. By the time, I'm telling you, let favor run its course. Ooh, God. Jesus. The Lord rebukes you. Now, specifically, think of the area that he's been trying you in.
Oh, yeah.
And take one more moment and rebuke him there. In the area that he's been trying you in. Now, a lion's voice should come up out of you. Just an area that he's been trying you in. You know you're in your right place. Argue. Lord said, by what measure you meet shall be met back unto you. God said, I take care of you. By being in my rhema word, I take care of you. I keep you at bay. You got two enemies here. I keep you killed. You go kill him. My word kills you. Now you go kill him. Ooh, shit. Amen. You gonna get him, Henry? I feel you. I see the seriousness about you. That's what this message is supposed to do. It's supposed to wake up that side to you that says, you know what? Now I know how to win. Now I know what to do. If you stay out of mixture, you can argue your case. That's why he's desperate to make you get mixed.
He likes that.
He knows. He knows. Because every time you're trying to say something that sounds like Raimi saying they can't do that, you see where they really at. A little leaven. Didn't you say in your word, God, a little leaven leavens a whole lump? Reminding God. Amen.